brothers and sisters, friends, again, I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this meeting. I'm going to call your attention this morning to a text of scripture that I read to you yesterday, but I got some news for you. I didn't wear it out yesterday, so I'm not going to wear it out today. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. And it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Likewise with the same mind, for he hath suffered in the flesh, hath ceased from sin." Now, I'm going to go back to something that Brother Gus said. And he said, he's got to the point, you know. He said that his brain and his mouth wasn't working. One was working faster than the other. You know what? I call that M&M trouble. M&M trouble is when your mind and your mouth don't work at the same time. So I hope today that my mind and my mouth will work at the same time. What we've done yesterday, whenever I spoke to you, I used the phrase in this text of scripture, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves." I believe there's some arming for the Lord's people to do. I believe, as I told you yesterday, that I believe unity is a weapon that we're to be armed with. I believe, yes, as I told you yesterday, that the promises of God are a weapon that we're to be armed with. I believe today, then, that faith is, if you will, a weapon that we're to be armed with. I believe today that hope today, if you will, is a weapon that we're to be armed with. But on the other hand, I want to turn now and tell you something else about it. I believe that there's a time then that these weapons, there's a time that we are to put those weapons to work in our life. All right, turn with me, and I believe there's a way to do it. I believe, and I want you to understand something. I believe sometimes that Primitive Baptist people are accused of things that's not so. And whenever that is, my response to that is, if you believe that, come and see. I believe, though, that they are accused sometimes of things that's not so. They're accused sometimes of sitting waiting for the Lord to do it all and to do nothing themselves. Well, I believe the scripture don't teach that. Now, I believe also to start with that these weapons, they're a way for us to use them. There is such a thing as an offensive weapon, but I'm going to give you today that there's some defensive weapons as well. Turn with me to the prophecy of Isaiah. We're going to go to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 59, and we're going to read verse number 16 and 17. And he said, and it says, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him." Right there, if you'll allow me, right there is one of the phases of that salvation, that his arm brought salvation unto him. "And his righteousness, it sustained him." Notice, "for he put on righteousness as a breastplate." He put on righteousness as a, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. "And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak." Now, if I understand this text of scripture right, and I believe I do, I don't believe that I've misinterpreted it, that this text of scripture gives us something to do. It gives us the way that we are to arm ourselves and how we're to use that in the armory. All right. Now, he says, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate." I'm going to ask you the question this morning. Can the child of God put righteousness on? If he can't, it don't need to be in here telling us how. Don't that make sense? If we can't put it on, then it don't need to be in here telling us how. Well, how do we put it on? I tell you this, it's got to be by the work of God that we put it on. That's exactly. Now, "for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and helmet of salvation upon his head, And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. I want you to know something. I believe today that there is unity in the scripture. I believe that whatever the scripture teaches, the scripture, Brother Gus and I sat at the table this morning, and I want you to understand, for those of you that were there, he and I are really friendly. I mean, we wasn't at each other's throat. I want you to understand that. Even though it might have seemed like that to start with. All right. Because I was teasing him about a set of books that he's got that I would have loved to have had myself. You understand that? Now, I believe in that. When we're talking about these things, there is some things for us as the Lord's people to do. It tells us that. Now, I believe that the scripture itself is the best commentary that you can get. I mean, I can stand right here, and I have done it. I've read Matthew Henry. I've read John Gill. I've done some of that stuff. Got it right there in a little office in my house. But the greatest commentary of the scripture is the scripture itself. And I believe that it interprets itself, if you'll let me use that. Now notice, I believe at the same time that there is also, wherever it teaches one place, it's going to teach it another place. There's unity, if you will, then, in the scripture. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Now, and we're going to read verse number 10. Start with verse number 10. And it starts out by saying, finally, my brethren. Now, I want you to understand something. I believe in a meeting like this, every sermon is important. But I believe that there's two that's real important. That's the opener and the closer. Those are the two, the ones that's important. And I say that to say this, that what he says in verse number 10, notice, he says, finally, brethren, this meeting is near about over, but finally, brethren, there's still some things to do. And I believe that's why today that the closer is just as important as the opener. Because we, as the Lord's people then, can take the things that has been taught to us, finally, brethren, and when we leave here today, take those things with us and apply them in our life day by day by day. So that's why now he says, notice that he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, you know, and go, let's go to again to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. And he says in this text of scripture, he says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, what we've got to do to look at that is qualify the all things. There's some things today that I can get out here in this world in that I don't believe is included in the all things that's going to strengthen me. There's some things that out here in this world I need to leave alone. But there's some things I need to cling to and hold to. And I believe this is where the defensive weapons are. All right. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, here's what we're to do as the Lord's people. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that there's nothing for the Lord's people to do to obtain salvation, because they are. Now, that's not for heaven and immortal glory. I want you to understand that. There's nothing that I can do or you can do to obtain heaven, because that's already been done and fixed and decreed and taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, that tells me then that all salvations in the scripture are not the same one. If you begin today to try to figure out that all these salvations in the scripture are the same, you're going to go absolutely berserk trying to figure it out. You know that? So they're not all the same. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Here is some things for the Lord's people to do after this. But you got to be alive to do it. You got to be born again to do it. It's not... I made my living several years ago and did it. I worked at it full time for a year. Worked at it part time for 20 years. I was one of the funeral directors in town. But I've noticed something. I noticed something that when somebody died, they didn't do anything. I mean, if somebody was dead, you had to dress them. You had to move them. You had to put them in that casket. You had to do everything for them. Only the person that is alive can do these things. All right. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Do you know today who can put on the whole armor of God? It's not the dead person. I will tell you this, when I was working at that funeral home, they brought this suit in here for this man to be buried in. Tailor made. That thing was tailor made. And this man I was working with it, he said, you know what we're going to do? He'd never take a shortcut. He said, we're in a hurry. He said, we're going to split the back of this coat and just wrap it around him. In a few minutes, here they come back and said, in our haste, we got the wrong suit. Brother, did we have to hurry to get that thing fixed back the way it ought to have been? You see, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. But it says, finally, my brethren, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm telling you, putting on the whole armor of God is a defensive weapon for the Lord's people. And they're the only ones that can put it on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you know what that word wiles means? That word wiles means tricks. I got some news for you. I don't believe. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you the rest of it. I got a few minutes. When I was about 10 or 12 years old, in elementary school, I was in this little play, and I played the devil. Yeah, that's what I said. Here I was with this red suit, with this mask. I had this pitchfork, and my daddy, what he had done, he took a .22 rifle and shot three times, took those cartridges, slipped it over the fork to that thing where I wouldn't hurt anybody with it. Now I was aside, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe that Satan appears that way, because he appears, if you will, in his Calvin Klein jeans. He appears in his members only jacket. He appears. Listen, he's not in a red suit. He's going to appear in his Hart, Souther, and Mark suit. That's what he's going to do. That's the way he appears. And I'm telling you, he's a trickster. That's why it's important for the Lord's people to be able to do, as this text of Scripture says, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil himself. But notice what he says. Now, understand something here. That this text of Scripture agrees with what we've already read back there in the prophecy of Isaiah. All right. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And listen, I've got habits. I've been doing this 40 years. I've got habits that I wish I could break, but I can't. But one of them is I cannot get to where I cannot not point these fingers. I cannot change that. I ought to try, but it just don't work. Now, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now notice what it says. For we wrestle against flesh, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm telling you, there's some defensive weapons for the Lord's people to use in the very thing that this text of Scripture says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I've got a pretty heavy foot. More especially when I get behind a vehicle, by steering wheel. I can't tell you how many times that I have been stopped. And I hope I don't on the way home. Been stopped for driving too fast a vehicle. I've done that. I got stopped one time. And I was fixing to go to conduct a funeral, what it was. I got stopped one time by city police in a hurry. He said, "Mr. Hayes, I want to know what your hurry is." I said, "I'm going to a funeral." He said, "You don't change your ways. I know you are." Now, see, there's things today that we wrestle against. And it's going to be, and I got news for you, that's not going to change as long as life exists. There's always a warfare that's going to go on. The spirit and the flesh are in a continual warfare. But that's why I believe today it gives us the weapons, the defensive weapons, if you will, to use it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me tell you, I hate to say, I said this not long ago. In growing up, I heard my daddy several times complain about taxes. He complained about the government continually. I said, if I ever make it to my manhood, I'm not going to do that. Guess what I do? I complain about property taxes. I complain about the governmental issues, about government regulation. I'm doing that continually. But let me tell you, there's still not a place on this earth I'd rather live than the good old USA. But it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. You know, I'm not opposed, by the way. I'll give you an example. I'm not opposed to wearing a seatbelt in a car. I know they save lives. But I am opposed to the government telling me I got to. See the difference in that? Now, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now notice it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I got news for you folks. We're living in, there's a lot of today that folks are just concerned. My wife has got an uncle that's a Southern Baptist preacher, and he and I talk continually, and it bothers him. It continually bothers him that we're living surely in the last days of time. That don't bother me. I got news for you. We've lived in the last days of time ever since Jesus Christ was born. What does that bother you for? That just means that we're closer and closer and closer to his coming to get us out of this. Rejoice in that then. Okay. Now wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand in the evil day. It's an evil day in which we live. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before the Lord comes. But that's why this is in here, to tell us how to withstand for that. All right, having done to all to stand, notice, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Do you know today that the truth is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, offensive and defensive weapons that the Lord people has? Because the truth will stand when everything else falls. And anyhow, you know what the truth is? The truth is Jesus Christ. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. What better way? What better condition can you be in than that? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I want to tell you, I believe today there's an outfit for the Lord's people to wear. And it ought to be seen. It ought to be able, if you will, to realize that it's there. You know what that is? That protects us. That protects us to having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod. Your feet shod. Do you know that's important? Several years I worked with a telephone company, and I went into one of their stores. I traveled around in a place called Fitzgerald, Georgia. And that woman running that place, she's working in there. She is running around through there just as barefooted as she could be. I asked her one day, I said, don't you have any shoes? She said, aren't you the preacher? Yes, I am. She said, don't you believe that God works his own will? Yes, I do. She said, don't you believe that God does whatever he intends? Yes, I do. She said, if God intended for me to wear shoes, I'd have been born with them. I wasn't born with any shoes. I wasn't born with any clothes. Where's that going to take me? You understand? You need to be careful. But it tells us what to do. Therefore, stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Brother Gusto, we bumped into each other over in the motel this morning. He said, I didn't know you wore them cowboy boots. I said, wore them for 40 years. They're the best thing that ever happened to feet. Whenever my son married, I told his wife, I said, I love you. I'm thankful that you're going to be mine. I said, now I'll put on the tuxedo. I'll wear it, be proud with it, but I ain't taking my cowboy boots off. And I was as well-dressed as anybody. I'm telling you today, there's a place, and it's what it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm telling you today, there's not a greater place. You know, several years ago, the gospel means something. And I believe today that the gospel will work in our life. If we hear it. I heard Elder Sonny Piles one time preaching, and he said, there's two things, a couple of lawyers sitting here. He said, you know, there's two things that a lawyer's going to have. Said he's going to have a Black's Law Dictionary and he's going to have a Bible. And he said, you know why he's going to have a Bible? Because that's a law book. We had to have some legal work done. I got sitting in that lawyer's office one day here several years ago. And he left. He left the room for a few minutes. I got looking around. My wife said, what in the world are you doing? What are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for two things. I said, I'm looking for a Black's Law Dictionary. Found it first. And I said, then I'm looking for a Bible. I knew when I saw that, I'm at the right place. You see what that's telling me? We ought to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm telling you, my friends, the gospel is the greatest tool that we've got for an offensive or a defensive weapon. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And it goes on even to say to who it's for, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed. I'm telling you, my friends, there's some enemies out there that the Lord's people need to fight. But I'm also telling you that there's a way and means to do it. And this book gives us the way. So let us do as this text of Scripture says. Back over here in the text of Scripture that I read to you, over here from the book of 1 Peter, when he said, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. I hope every one of the Lord's people today will be armed, ready, if you will, to fight the good fight of faith, looking and longing and waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can look for with great anticipation, and that we can wait for it and long for it and be thankful that we're living in the last days of time, because there's a greater day coming for the Lord's people. May the Lord bless you, Mother.
I knew he wasn't going to get done. Now, Brother Joe, I'm going to take about 2 minutes. There's 7 pieces of that armor.
Yeah.
And let's see. 1, 2, you left off 3. Now, I'm just going to read them. He says, above all. Above all that you said, he said, take the shield of faith whereby we may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. When you think about faith, without faith, you can't please God. So he goes on and he says, and take the helmet of salvation. You got to put, who in the world would go out into a battle without your helmet on? The helmet protects your brain. It protects your head. And we've got to keep that helmet that Brother Gus preached about. If we'll put that helmet on, about all, especially the vital phase of that, and wear that around, it'll protect our brain from getting in our mind. You got to have that on. All right, Brother Joe, that last one. Some people even leave this one off. Now, maybe all these others is a defensive, but I'm telling you, there is an offensive weapon that we have, which is perhaps the most, it will defeat that old devil every time. You know what it is? Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication to all saints. The word perseverance is in the Bible one time, right here. And it means to continue faithful in that which you have, in these things. It means to keep on keeping on. And that's what it means. But prayer, people say, well, you can't pray in school. Yes, you can. You can pray anytime you want to. All you got to do is prayer is a communication with God. And brethren, when you have all these temptations and trials coming in your life, there is one simple prayer that is the greatest prayer in the whole Bible. Lord, help. I could tell you a story about a deliverance that I had by simply saying, God, help me. And I believe that I'm here today, Brother Andy, because I prayed that one prayer. So use all of these pieces of armor. Every one of them, Brother Joe, is important. If you take one piece off, you're going to be vulnerable in that area. So, and sometimes we forget this last one. Prayer is one of the greatest offensive weapons that you can use against the devil. What Jesus say? He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou discernest not the things that be of God. We must continually, prayer is, I mean, that's what, you know, the people came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciple. One of the greatest prayers in the Bible. We can say it in about maybe a minute and a half, or a minute even if you say it fast. But you know, when you think, that prayer is the disciples' prayer, and if we'll use that prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You say, well, Brother Allen, can you just keep saying that prayer? Well, if you pray that prayer from your heart, it's going to be effective against the devil. So, brethren and sisters, there is many things in this world that will take us away from our joy in the kingdom of God. We got to wear this armor. And we must not forget that last piece.